Hello, this is episode one of the Sleep to Healthy podcast titled Listen to Sleep. I'm your host, Dennis Trumpy, and my goal is to help you improve your sleep for your better health and well-being. Have you ever found yourself tossing and turning while you try to shut your brain off so you can get some well-deserved rest? Maybe it's work stresses or you're traveling or a relationship issue. They take hold of your brain and refuse to let you pass into lullaby land. Well, good news, because today we're interviewing Drew Ackerman, host and creator of the Sleep With Me podcast, the podcast that puts you to sleep. I've used and continue to use Drew's podcast, especially when I can tell that my mind is just not going to settle down. It works well for me, and I think it might help you as well. Today, we're going to learn about Drew's early struggles to sleep, his inspiration to help others get to sleep, and the wonderful podcast he produces that helps thousands drift off to sleep every night. In addition, we're going to get Drew's top advice on sleeping well and let you know how you can calm your mind and get to sleep. On a personal note, it was Drew's podcast that inspired me to create the Sleep to Healthy podcast. When I looked for other sleep podcasts, I was shocked to discover that there were no podcasts about understanding sleep, the health benefits of sleeping well, and what we can do to sleep better. So, thank you, Drew, for your inspiration, and welcome to the first episode of the show.
Thank you so much for having me on, and I'm really touched that I could help be the inspiration for you kicking off a podcast to actually talk about sleep issues, because I think it's something that impacts a lot of people and is really important, and sometimes people are just afraid to talk about it. So I'm glad you're bringing this to light.
Absolutely. Thank you. So first, can you give us a little bit of background about yourself? Who is the Drew Ackerman when you're not working on your podcast?
The podcast is actually my full-time job, so it probably is equivalent of like two or three full-time jobs, but I've been making it for since 2013, and for the majority of the time, I was supporting it with a day job up until 2018. I started the podcast because, similar to you, I was like, there's like a lot of sleep solutions, and there's some podcasts to help people meditate themselves to sleep or to kind of listen to natural sounds or, you know, guided journey type stuff, but there wasn't anything that I was looking for, which was something more in the sillier storytelling range, just like you'd tell a kid a bedtime story. That's kind of what I was always looking for myself. And so I decided, well, maybe I could make this podcast and see how it goes.
Yeah, I can remember listening to those early episodes and when you're still having a part-time job and struggling to try to really follow your passion full-time. So that's great that you're able to do that.
So, oh, thanks, yeah.
So as I understand it, when you were growing up, you had some issues with sleep. Can you tell us a bit about that?
Sure. When I my troubles or issues with sleep started right around fifth grade is when it really got bad. I was having a lot of trouble at school. I had undiagnosed dyslexia, and this was in the 80s, so it was something that was slowly coming to a better understanding, but I went to a school where there wasn't either. I think it was also a personality fit, but the teachers didn't see me as having a learning issue. They saw me as having a behavioral issue, and that I didn't want to learn, and that I didn't want to be at school, and I didn't want to try. And it quickly just created this internal struggle and this terror of going to school for me. And what would happen is I'd lie in bed at night, and I would just think about what happened at school that day. What did I do wrong? What could I predict the entire school day tomorrow and plan it out while I lied in bed? And this just became this vicious cycle that I think a lot of people are familiar with, where then I would be like, I'm so tired. Well, now I got to stop thinking and go to sleep. And as soon as you try to contemplate what stopping thinking is, it becomes impossible to stop thinking, or at least it was for me. And so I would just lie in bed all night, like worrying about school, then trying to force myself to sleep, then getting frustrated with myself because I wasn't falling asleep. And it was a really, really painful memory in trying to communicate with adults in my life. I'm the oldest of six kids. And I think my parents kind of knew that I was having trouble sleeping, but I don't know, they knew the depth of the pain of it. And so they were like, oh, well, just try to think of something nice. Don't think about school. Or, oh, just try to daydream about something. Or, oh, drink some milk. And none of that advice really worked. And it made me feeling even more lonely and even more like, okay, well, I guess this is – because there wasn't the internet or anything, I was like, well, there's just something wrong with me. And it was really isolating. And eventually what happened was – I was getting burned out and my behavior was getting worse. And then out of kind of the nowhere, like when you see something out of the corner of your eye, one of my classmates was telling me about this comedy radio show his older brother listened to called the Dr. Demento Show. And he was like, it's on late at night for a fifth grader or sixth grader. It was on from 9 to 11 p.m. on Sunday nights in particular. And he's like, you should check it out and listen if you're awake anyway. And I started to listen to that show, and it never put me to sleep, but it immediately took my mind off of school and fear and sleep. And I just have never forgotten those two things, the struggle to sleep and the pain that comes with it, and then the nearly instant relief that distraction brought me by just taking my mind off of stuff and making me laugh and helping me to relax.
Wow, that's a good discovery, because back in those days, you probably didn't have many resources that you could pull in to help with an issue like that. So how did that lead you into starting the podcast? I mean, it's a pretty unique and unusual podcast format, very effective, but very different from most of the ones out there. What thing triggered you to think about starting a podcast?
Yeah, you know, it's interesting, and I don't know if any of your listeners will be able to relate to this, but so I started listening to podcasts pretty early on, and I was immediately drawn to how different it was from radio, this new medium, and how people could essentially talk about anything, and you could, like, I was listening to, you know, some podcasts that were people, like, friends talking. There was a podcast called Dawn and Drew that were a husband and wife. There was a podcast by a gentleman named Scott Sigler that was kind of like audiobooks, but kind of in a little bit condensed version that came out every single week. And then there was hobbyist podcasts where you could just listen to people talk about their, like, what they're really interested in. And it, I just enjoyed it so much, like peering into these people's like lives. And I don't know, I was like, oh, maybe I could make a podcast. You could kind of do it about anything. And I started to think about this idea of telling adult bedtime stories. And then my internal critic, I have a pretty well-developed internal critic. It's one of the things that keeps me up at night, was like, no, you don't make a radio show. You don't know what you're doing. That would be very embarrassing. Forget about it. So then I forgot about the idea. And then a few months would go by and be like, listening to more podcasts and be like, what about that bedtime story podcast? And my internal critic again would be like, no, don't do that. You're not qualified. Like, no. I went like through that, like, for years, that struggle to start and that shutting myself down. And then at some point in 2013, I was working on another creative project, and I had a lot of time set aside for that project on the weekends and at night. And that project actually imploded. Like, I was working with two other collaborators, and we just decided we couldn't move forward together. And I'll never forget, I was on a bus, and we were texting one another, like, basically breaking up the band, like, of this project, like, saying, you know what, forget it. And this voice came on, and this voice doesn't always come to me, and it said, hey, why don't you start that sleep podcast now? You've got the time set aside. If you don't fill in that time with something creative, the rest of your life's going to kind of fill it in, and that time's going to go away. Let's just start making that sleep podcast. And first I said, who is this that's talking to me that's so well-adjusted? But then eventually I said, okay, yeah, let's do it. And I just started kind of, like you said, making episodes and just trying to figure out, was this podcast going to work? What would it be? What would the structure be? And kind of going and learning from there.
Okay, I was thinking while you're saying that, how many success stories start with adversity, and how things happen by chance, by grace, by whatever term you want to use, and doors open and what seems to be a disaster turns into an opportunity. The podcast you are now listening to is only a small portion of the value we offer our listeners. Go to sleeptohealthy.com and get thorough show notes, links to all the resources mentioned in the episode, all the other episodes, and much more. Visit sleeptohealthy.com to get the full benefit from each episode. So, as I mentioned, your podcast is somewhat unusual. Can you tell us a bit about how it's structured and what listeners could expect if they were to tune in?
Yeah, I'm trying to think of the short way to describe it. I would expect a lot of nonsense. The podcast is very silly, even though I take putting people to sleep very seriously. And it doesn't purposefully break a lot of podcasting rules, but it kind of uses the rules of podcasting in unique ways. So the podcast starts off with some business that helps keep the show going, and then it has an intro, which I think your intro, when I was listening to it getting started, was about 25 seconds, which is a pretty solid length of an intro for a podcast. That's pretty much in the effective normal range. My intro is about somewhere between 12 and 17 minutes, and that kind of developed over the years as something fun and familiar for listeners, but also kind of just a play on expectations that okay, by this intro never getting to the point, you kind of know what you're getting yourself into. It also gives the listeners permission right away to fall asleep because they're like, oh, even in the intro, I could fall asleep. And it just is part of my mission is to ideally bring some levity or some joy to bedtime. So the show starts off with a very long intro, which is kind of fun and it's different every time. And then there's a bedtime story. And we kind of do three styles of shows. So there's like a made-up bedtime story, which could be something I'm just making up on the spot. Sometimes it's a fantastical story. Sometimes it's more of a personal essay. Then there's like usually a serialized story or an anthology we do. So that's like a written bedtime story, but still like on the goofier side. Like a recent one we did was Nuns in Space, which was a kind of sci-fi series where essentially I was trapped on a spaceship with the nuns from my childhood, and we're trying to work together. And then I usually do a TV recap type show. So recently we covered The Good Place. And so I'll kind of talk about the plot of the episode, but in a really meandering and indirect way, and then kind of look up some research about stuff that came up on the show. And the podcast is just full of a lot of tangents. I go off topic. I don't get to the point. I try to talk in a kind of slow, soothing manner and maintain a balance between just barely interesting enough to take your mind off whatever's keeping you awake, but not so engrossing that you're like hanging on my every word.
You know, I think you could explain your podcast for a full hour and people would not appreciate what it is until they actually tune in. And I would say a pretty good chunk of the times when I'm listening to your podcast, I do not make it to the end of that intro section. And it reminds me of one of the ways that I get to sleep at night is I do meditation. I'll do that at night. And I figure I'm in a win-win situation. If I, you know, meditate for the full half an hour or so and I do the whole thing, great, I've had a wonderful meditation. If I sleep partway through it, great, I've got to sleep. And I think your podcast is kind of like that. You just listen to it and it takes the pressure off, because if you spend, you know, I've got to the end of the podcast and I'm still awake, I've been entertained, this has been kind of fun and enjoyable, and just taken the boredom out of just laying in bed. And if I drift to sleep, fantastic.
Yeah, that's exactly, yeah, that's how I view it too. It's like either this podcast is going to keep you company or it's going to put you to sleep. And either way, the podcast is there for you to kind of cut into that nighttime loneliness, just like Dr. Demento did for me. Even if you sleep, I mean, there's listeners that fall asleep in the first, you know, 2 minutes and they still kind of listen to the whole episode, but it's only their sleeping mind that's listening.
Yep. And just a tip for listeners, if you do go to Drew's site, is one of the things I do when I put it on is I put a timer on. So it actually, my whether I'm listening on my phone or my MP3 player, it shuts off before the end of the episode so that I don't wake up, whatever, an hour, 2 hours later, and there's this voice, whatever it is, in my earbuds that wake me up. So a little tip there. So tell us about kind of the development of the podcast and especially maybe some of the frustrations and the inspirations you had in the early days.
Yeah, so a lot of the inspiration I kind of draw from just things that inspired me as a kid. Even though the podcast is geared towards adults, it kind of has that Saturday morning cartoon feel to it a lot of times, because that's just something I've always enjoyed as a kid, and science fiction and TV and popular culture, but also just what it's like to be a person, and stuff like walking the dog, mundane stuff too. So I guess I try to draw inspiration from everywhere, but uplifting and fun inspiration. When I started the show, I really didn't know what it was going to be. I knew, okay, I want to make this podcast that's going to help people fall asleep with bedtime stories. And I didn't know if anyone was going to listen. I didn't know if it was actually, I was like, I think this would work for me, but I was like, I don't know if this is going to work for anyone else. And so I just kind of started experimenting and listening to the episodes, because I was editing them and listening to them again. And then kind of be like, well, I liked that, or that didn't work. And then over about a year of doing the show, I would start to hear from people. At first, it was really slow. Like, podcasting is just kind of this slower medium, like, that kind of develops very slowly. But as soon as I started hearing from listeners, they would tell me stuff that should have been obvious to me, but they'd be like, hey, can you not talk about snakes because I'm terrified of snakes? Or can you not talk about spiders?
Right.
I'm like, oh, yeah, I didn't realize that. Or singing. I used to sing a lot in the early episodes, like just break into song randomly. And particularly musicians were like, you know, it's funny when you sing, but it just brings me out of my sleep state. So I just started to kind of take note of things that were impacting people and keeping them up. And over the years, I've still tried to keep that channel open and try to maintain some nuance of like, oh, can I steer my way around these subjects that tend to be archetypal with a lot of people to keep them up. And I mean, the main thing with my show, especially with this big internal critic and a tendency towards rumination, was just to give myself time. I mean, like you said, to kind of have adversity or even to fail. Like, so I really was like, okay, my goal was to try to make the show for 2 years and then kind of assess things. But on the way, I was like, okay, can I just make two episodes and release two episodes? And then my next goal was like, can I make and release 8 episodes? Because I had heard statistics that that's when people usually stop releasing. And then I was like, can I make 21 episodes? Can I make 50 episodes? And so that kept me kind of focused on the deadlines of just getting the episodes out. And that was really helpful. But I was really lucky to get listener feedback and be able to incorporate that. And also just re-listening to the show and constantly trying to put myself in the listener's shoes of like, oh, would this help, or would this, you know, is this going to not work? So it was kind of a big experiment, and it was really a fun experiment too.
That's funny. Actually, I have recollections of listening to one of your episodes, and I can't remember the exact content of it, but I remember going, this is not helping me to sleep. Like, this is getting my heart going and not helping me. So I'm glad some other people gave you the feedback that you needed there. I was also going to self-reveal something to you. And I said that you inspired me to get into podcasting. My original intent was actually to go kind of head-to-head with you. I thought, this guy does a good job and he's boring. Man, I'm really boring. I can do a better job than he does. So I tried to kind of mimic what you did. And man, did my admiration of you grow, and the art and the talent that it goes in to get those nuances right. Because I quickly gave up on that effort of trying to compete or try to mimic what you were doing. So congrats to you on that.
Well, I've had a lot of practice. I think that's like some of it might be natural bore, that I'm naturally boring too. So it's like I may have a built-in advantage.
If knowledge, by itself, changed people's behavior, none of us would smoke, we would be at our ideal body weight, we would exercise often, and we would sleep well. Doesn't sound like you? Me either. At the end of each episode, I give a habit hack, a method to take something you learned today and make it into a habit. Listen to the end of each episode to get the day's habit hack. So, how do you feel things are going now? Kind of how's it going? And how do you think that your podcast is impacting people?
You know, I think it's going good. I mean, I tend to be, I'm always like trying to balance my own anxiety and my overthinking with making the podcast. I mean, just like anything, like people trying to juggle jobs and family life. So sometimes, I guess with the podcast, I'm the biggest obstacle. Like if there's an issue with the podcast, a lot of times I'm causing it by either trying to control things that are out of my control or trying to worry about things that I don't need to worry about. But overall, the podcast is really going well. It is a unique, very unique podcast in the sense that for the people it works for, it works for. And then for a lot of other people, it just doesn't work. Like, not everybody's looking for a goofy bedtime story to put them to sleep. So the show is kind of self-selective, too. Like, people will tune in. And like I say in the show, it might take two or three tries just to get settled of like, oh, what is this show? It's very different. It is very strange. But after that, for the most part, people know like, okay, this is going to work for me or it's not. Like, and the people that it doesn't work for, a lot of people just, you know, stop listening. Other people will send me strongly worded emails about it with their opinion. But for the most part, it's cool because people that are looking for something like this, just like you're saying with your show, it's like somehow there's just not an option out there. And I'm happy to provide it. I mean, the most touching thing for me making the podcast is hearing from people like you and knowing I can help because I've been there. Like, I know what it's like lying there desperate for sleep and craving it and not being able to get it. So anytime I hear from someone that the podcast has helped get rest, whether it's temporarily, like someone's just going through a job change or some other serious situation, or it's someone that listens on a regular basis. It's just very humbling and touching to know I can help someone whose kind of pain I'm familiar with.
So in the show, you have the nickname Scooter, and how and where did that come about?
So on the podcast, I go by Dear Scooter, and that again was a little deal I made with my internal critic. Like when I first started making the show and kind of starting to write up some ideas and figure out how do you record a podcast, how do you edit a podcast, my internal critic was still full of doubts, and it was like, we can't do this. So there's just no way. And I was like, okay, well, what are you most worried about? Well, it's going to be embarrassing. Well, it's going to be a failure. Okay, well, what if we just do it for 2 years and that's a success? Then we really can't fail unless we stop. Okay, well, it's going to be embarrassing. Or what if people we know listen and they make fun of us or something? Okay, well, what if we made up a pseudonym? Would that help you, like, feel more relaxed? And my critic's like, I can't believe it because it's so transparent. But my critic was like, maybe. And I said, yeah, we could find a nice pseudonym and that would make it, maybe then that would help us be soothed and we could be even more soothing for people. Cause it was also a part of like getting over this performance anxiety. Cause I don't have a background in radio. So when I first started recording, I was very nervous and, having that pseudonym or like your show, you have this distinct purpose. I think that helps just calm down your lizard brain so you could be like, oh, okay, let me just do my best. That's all I can really do. And so just having that pseudonym freed up just a little bit more space that allowed me to make the show and start putting it out.
Interesting. I never would have guessed that was the story behind that name. So you seem to have a lot of interactions with your listeners. So What have you learned over the years from them, not just in terms of how to improve your podcast, but in terms of the types of sleeping issues they deal with and maybe some of the solutions they come up with that are outside the scope of your podcast?
Yeah, so I've really learned a lot about why people can't sleep, and that's been one of the most humbling things is, like, when I started the podcast, I was familiar with rumination and stress and anxiety as reasons I couldn't sleep. And then as the years have gone by, I've just been surprised at, like, all of these different things that impact sleep. Like, one of the biggest ones that I was unaware of is how many people are suffering from chronic pain. And in addition to suffering from chronic pain, then on top of it, not only do they have to deal with that during the day, but that it impacts their sleep. And that just, for me, just feels like, it almost makes me angry that it's like, okay, you have to deal with chronic pain and insomnia. So there is a really large swath of listeners that are dealing with this kind of dual thing. And it was just something like I was ignorant of. So that was really, really eye-opening. And then just hearing from people, you know, with different life experiences, like soldiers dealing with PTSD, people that have really, really intense, stressful jobs with wild schedules. Like, I've heard from different, I've more than one person on a submarine in more than one nation. And then also there was a woman who listened to, that I used to hear from a lot, and she was a coal train driver in the Australian outback. And she was telling me how they would do these shifts driving this train, and it, you know, your shift was not corresponding, wasn't the same every day, and you're in charge of this train, and you know, anybody that could be impacted by the train, and just how stressful it was to just drive the train and then try to rest and then go back and do another shift. So really, it's like, wow, like, the people with sleep issues are as diverse and wide as our entire world, and so it doesn't, there's not any population that's not touched by sleeplessness or sleep issues. And then, yeah, it's, I think everybody's trying. Like, everybody wants sleep. So I've kind of learned the importance of having a bedtime routine from my listeners, and kind of also the importance of gratitude and kindness and just self-care, self-parenting, or whatever you want to call it.
That's very interesting. So just for my listeners' benefit, on episode 3, I'm going to be interviewing Cindy Perlin, and we are actually going to talk about pain and sleep. She's actually a specialist that deals with people with pain issues and how to lessen the pain and deal with it in your life, and she's actually going to focus on the sleep aspect of it, because that's one of the things I thought, boy, if you have pain, like, all I need is a little owie on the end of my finger and I can't sleep. And yet there are people that have chronic pain issues that also are trying to get a decent night's sleep.
Yeah, that's great. I'll definitely point my listeners to that too, because it's like, it's a great resource. I'm glad that's an awesome topic to cover.
So you mentioned, you know, having a kind of a bedtime routine and that. So what are some of the things that you use to get a good night's sleep?
So I've read like almost every article ever. I feel like every article published on sleep has either come across my desk or I've read it. So, I mean, and I find like if you can create a bedtime routine without shoulds or pressure, that's one of the best starting places. So almost like if you were trying to create a bedtime routine for someone else as a gift, I mean, you're the person getting the gift, or if you're a parent for your child. But some things I found super effective is pitch dark room, and that is kind of backed up by science. So getting blackout curtains, getting a roll of black tape and covering LED lights on chargers, like just doing that a lot of times. If I'm sleeping somewhere else other than my room, I'm like, holy cow, I can't believe how light this room is or how many different little LEDs are on. And then I like to have a cold room or a cool room and a nice fan going. As far as routine goes, this is kind of where it can be frustrating for people that can't sleep because, and I've learned I need a routine, but sometimes that little kid in me is really, it's like, I just want to go to sleep. I don't want to have an hour before I go to bed to get ready for bed. So it's still something I struggle with, but I found that if I want to be to sleep at 10 p.m., I need to start my routine at 9 p.m. Like, I need to give myself an hour, you know, shut my phone off or put my phone aside. I like to meditate or sit quietly. Then I like to do some light journaling or some kind of reflections on the day or, you know, gratitude and maybe some reading, like something that feels like a little bit enriching just to kind of wind down. Ideally, like on my to-do list, when I do it, it's really good as like foam rolling or some kind of stretching just for a few minutes. And then for me, if I can read fiction for 30 minutes after that, like something I enjoy and something that's fun, I find that that sets up the best circumstances for me to fall asleep. I guess what's humbling is even if I set up the best circumstances for sleep, sometimes I still can't fall asleep, or I'll fall asleep for like 5 minutes and wake up and not be able to get back to sleep, or I'll wake up. And so it's cool that I get to still make a podcast because I still find sleep unresolved for me. But if I have a nice routine, I really find that it's like a high percentage chance that I'm going to be able to get to sleep. I'll get a good night's sleep. Another unexpected thing I found that impacts sleep, I mean, exercise and health are good, but having a morning routine in some weird paradoxical way really helps me get good sleep. I've just noticed like when I get up and have a little bit shorter morning routine, but if something similar at bedtime, you know, having some reflection time, having some time to kind of think about the day and you know, why I, you know, that I get to make a podcast that's of service to people and stuff and what am I afraid of and that kind of stuff. It really helps. I don't know. I don't understand why, but it definitely has an impact on my sleep too.
Well, that's interesting. I don't do very much traveling, but one of the things that has really struck me is how poor of a job hotels do at creating an environment for you to go to sleep when that's basically the service they are providing. And I actually bring a red t-shirt with me and I put it over the lamp by the bed if I have one, turn all the rest of the lights out so I have a nice subdued light prior to going to bed, because I find like you just got all surrounded by all these bright blue fluorescent lights and you're supposed to turn them off and instantly go to sleep. So,
yeah. One great tip I heard about hotels is from people that work on airplanes. They say if you go into the closet of your hotel, there's usually a hanger with the clips for pants on there. And then you could use those clips to clip the curtains together. Because almost inevitably, hotels, their curtains will have this one stripe down the middle that as soon as the sun rises, it's lined up with the sun and it blazes right on your face. So I like doing that. And I have to unplug the clocks and stuff. I sometimes I'll bring a Bluetooth speaker with me to play some kind of noise and put it a little bit closer to the side of the room with the door. So at least it might drown out some kind of noise. I mean, sometimes you get a hotel room with the older air conditioners, and those are really good to sleep to because they make a lot of noise.
Yeah. And they say in the morning that you're basically resetting your circadian rhythm. So that's actually an important part of the day. I'm from Canada, and right now where I live, the sun doesn't even rise until about 9 a.m. Wow. So I actually have a bright light that I go to first thing in the morning, and as soon as the sun gets up over the horizon, I try to go out for a walk. And if I do that, then I'm kind of like you. It's odd, but that morning routine can actually help me with the night before, or next night, I mean. This show will only become as good as the feedback I receive from you. Yes, I do mean you. If you want this show to be more and more focused on giving you value, please send me your constructive criticism and compliments. Go to sleeptohealthy.com where you can choose between phone number, email address, and feedback form. Thank you for choosing to take the time to support this free podcast. So you kind of mentioned that your podcast works for some people, but not everybody. And you actually mentioned that in virtually every podcast I've listened to of yours. So do you have any, is there any predictive nature to that? Do you know what types of people tend to benefit from the podcast?
You know, it's weird. I think like there's just like some people don't like that my show has this element of me being myself and very vulnerable. So it tends to sometimes set off people, and this isn't to put everybody in a category, but people that have a tendency to bully people don't like my show. Like, it immediately, I think because I have my guard down, I kind of talk freely. I mean, within the bedtime story context, and I don't have to, I don't put the pressure on myself to speak clearly or enunciate, or I'll stutter on the show. Just because if I'm really relaxed, that's how I talk. And so that's one category that don't like the show. And then there's some people that are so similar to me. Maybe like my issues and their issues are just really aligned, that get stressed out. Like you said, sometimes it's only one or two episodes. And then I guess it's just like, it's really silly and really hard to follow. So if you're looking for something that makes sense, or that you have to be able to comprehend, the show can be, it's really hard to follow. And I don't know, it's just free form in this silly way. Like, I guess if you, like, similar to going to a museum, and some people like this one kind of art, and some people say, well, that's a little bit more abstract, but I still really appreciate it, or it makes me feel this. If abstract art stresses you out, I mean, my show is not, well, sometimes it is surrealistic, I guess. So, yeah, it's just a bit different. And the great thing is there's solutions out there for everybody. I mean, for me, I've tried a lot of different things. I like, well, last night I was listening to BBC Three. Like, so sometimes it's classical radio and hearing that calming voice in between music. Sometimes it's pink noise or white noise or ocean sounds. There's a LibriVox has this huge library of audiobooks. And then, yeah, there's a lot of other Sleep With Me style podcasts out there, like people are coming out with. And I mean, like, I've become friends with Harris from Sleep Whispers. He's another person you should have on your show. And he does a show to people sleep. It's a little bit more ASMR based, but he does his show kind of in a whispering voice. And for the people that his show works for, it works for them. So that's one of the great things, and the positive sides of the internet is like that there can be these nice communities of solutions for everybody.
Yeah. And what is ASMR? I'm not familiar with that.
So I wasn't familiar with it either until I started making the podcast. But ASMR stands for Audio Sensory Meridian Response. And I'm not an expert in it, but I guess, and it's there's a lot of YouTube videos and there's podcasts. It's like when you're listening to something and the top of your head tingles, like, I don't know if you've ever experienced that, but, or like right when you're on the cusp of wake and sleep and you start to have this like kind of tingly drifting feeling, that's the ASMR response. And there's ASMR artists, that kind of create circumstances. Like a lot of times it's like binaural sound in both your ears of close-up sound. So it might be someone crinkling paper or scratching a crayon or whispering in a certain way. Like if you listen to Sleep Whispers, that's Harris's podcast. It just for some people, it triggers this ASMR response that relaxes them and leads them to sleep. And then for some people, they listen to it in a waking state because it just is pleasurable. And then there's other people very similar to Sleep With Me that just, it's cool to chill out to, or it's kind of fun to listen to. But yeah, it's this whole other world I didn't even know about either. I was like, people were asking about it when I was making the podcast and I was like, oh, I'm not familiar with that. And as I've done more research, it's just a whole nother interesting area of expertise.
Interesting. I'll definitely have to look into that. So we're kind of wrapping things up here. And one question I had is that, you know, you mentioned a lot of different things you can do to get a better sleep. So if you had one piece of advice for my listeners of something they could try today that would help them possibly sleep better tonight, what do you think that would be?
I mean, I think it really is about your attitude towards yourself. Like a lot of people use this term self-care or self-parenting or stuff, but what it really comes down to is having some quiet time with yourself and letting your guard down and just saying your needs and your sleep are important. and holding that with yourself, like, again, like you would someone you care about, like, just like you wouldn't let someone you care about talk to themselves in a negative manner, just like you would tell them, oh, you can't sleep, like, have you tried this, or, oh, I really want you to sleep, like, taking that attitude with yourself, and then maybe going with the curiosity of, like, oh, I mean, I guess for me, I'm a little bit better at splitting my personalities up than some people, but I think it really is important, like, of, like, taking yourself in the palm of your own hand in this soft way and saying, let me find some ways to help you get some rest. You really do deserve it. And then going from there, and I think organically your curiosity will lead you to the right places, and then feeling free to test stuff out and see, oh, does this work for me? Does this help me relax? Does this help me wind down and get the sleep I need? Because a lot of times, at least for me, I let that critic part of me take over, just like I was saying when I'm a kid. And it's like, what's wrong with you that you can't sleep? Why can't, you know, there must, you know, I always thought like it was this dysfunction, or, oh, you're not following, you know, you're not following all these shoulds. That's why you can't sleep. You're doing it wrong. That's a common refrain I hear from my listeners. Like, oh, you can't sleep. You must be doing it wrong. It's like, no, I can't fall asleep. Like, you don't get it. Like, oh, why don't you try harder? It's like, oh, no, that doesn't work. I think it is like loosening knots instead of pulling at the rope until the knot gets tighter. So just be nice to yourself. I think that's like the piece of advice I would give people. And on the podcast, I talk about it in silly ways too. Like, hey, kiss your shoulder, hug your pillow. Like, but I think just starting with an attitude of kindness is a good place to begin.
Yeah, and we're definitely not machines. You can't just flip a switch and change your behavior in a certain way, and all of a sudden you're going to change what's happened to you at night. So yeah, you've got to try different things and be gentle with yourself. So if people are wanting to learn more about yourself and your podcast, what are you going to recommend they do?
Sure. If you in your podcast app, you could just open it up and search for Sleep With Me and check it out in your podcast app. If you have a smart speaker and you want to listen, you just say, smart speaker, play Sleep With Me podcast. And like you said, you can say, hey, smart speaker, set a timer for 60 minutes or 45 minutes or 2 hours. Those are good places to start. My website is sleepwithmepodcast.com. And then I'm on Twitter and Instagram at Dearest Scooter. But podcast app, make sure you subscribe to both this Sleep With Me, check out, and subscribe to this podcast too. And then it just comes to you automatically.
Right, and I'll have all those links in the show notes as well, so people can visit the website and find the links there. Well, Drew, thank you so much for joining us today, for giving us insight into your podcast and offering us a much-needed tool to settle in on restless nights that we sometimes have.
Thank you so much, and I hope everybody out there, you know, gets the rest they need and deserve.
Great, thanks very much.
Thanks.
Now it's time for the episode highlights. Let's take a minute to summarize the main points that are likely to have the most impact for improving your sleep, health, and well-being. Number one has to be Drew Ackerman's Sleep With Me podcast. If your mind is busy at night, give it a try. I probably use it 2 to 6 times a month. That's not very often, but when I need it, the resource is there, and I'm glad it is. If you do use the resource, consider supporting Drew by making a contribution or buying your Amazon stuff using his Amazon link. I do both. Number two is that many pain sufferers also have sleep issues. Not surprising, and yet I, like Drew, had not thought of this group, so I'm glad he brought it to my attention. I'll give a plug here for my episode number 3, where Cindy Perlin deals with pain and sleep. If this is a concern of yours, or if you have another sleep issue that you would like to learn about, be sure to let me know by visiting sleeptohealthy.com and using one of the several convenient methods to contact me. Then I can address your topic more thoroughly in the future. If you don't tell me, don't be surprised if I don't cover your topic of choice. And number 3. Is to have a good, effective bedtime routine. We deal with this more thoroughly in episode number 5 with Neil Stanley, the author of How to Sleep Well, Drew made it pretty clear that he puts a high priority on his daily routine in order to sleep well. I think there are a few exceptions to this rule, and we can follow his example. Drew's commitment to a sleep-friendly nighttime routine reminds me of Alcoholics Anonymous and their famous saying, "One day at a time." Getting a good night's sleep isn't like buying a car. Make one purchase and have years of driving comfort. You must make the decision each and every day to have the self-discipline to do what it takes to sleep better. Make the decision to sleep better today, then do the same tomorrow and the next. I hope these highlights help you to sleep better so you can enjoy better health and well-being. This week's Habit Hat will take 5 seconds or less. Literally. Oftentimes, we are at crossroads. One path leads down the desired track. The other, which might be very tempting, leads down a less desired track. As an example, we are in the middle of our bedtime routine when our phone chimes with a social media message. We can go down the path which leads to a restful sleep, or we could get involved in a fun, dopamine-inducing social networking frenzy. Fun, but tomorrow we, and those we care about, will likely regret our decision to pick up the phone. What to do? Don't think about it too much. And I mean it. The longer you think about the decision, the more likely that the instantly pleasurable event will win out. Or in the case of having to do something that is temporarily unpleasant, we will avoid doing something such as going outside on a cold day for a brisk, invigorating, relaxing, healthy walk. That is because our slower thinking part of our brain will quickly take over and convince us that the wrong but easier, less painful, or immediately pleasant choice is the one we really should do. Here's what to do. Start counting down from 5, and before you reach 0, start moving towards taking the right action. It is so simple, but it really works. There is even a whole book written about it by Mel Robbins called The 5-Second Rule, which I highly recommend and will be included in the show notes with a link. You don't need to complete the correct action within 5 seconds. You only need to start it or move towards it. As an example, your alarm goes off in the morning. Start counting down from 5, and before you reach 0, start getting out of bed. You don't have to have your feet on the ground, alarm turned off, teeth brushed, and breakfast made before 0. You just need to be pulling the sheets back and swinging your legs around. The momentum will propel you forward. Or, more correctly, your brain will start focusing on continuing the action you have already started, and it will stop dwelling on the temptation to hit the snooze button. I use this method regularly when my alarm sounds, and I am amazed at how effortlessly it works. One warning is that if it is a repeating interruption, you will eventually succumb to the less desirable path. That is because each time you decide to avoid the temptation, you are wearing down your willpower and rewarding yourself for having so much self-control. Eventually, the scale will tip, and you will say to yourself, "I've shown such good self-control 8 times now. Surely I deserve a little reward and allow myself to do what I feel like doing." If it is a repeating temptation, for goodness sakes, get rid of the temptation. We aren't superhuman, just human. I hope this tip helps. Try it. It works amazingly well. This podcast is not a substitute for advice from a qualified healthcare professional. The sole purpose of this podcast is to educate and entertain. As we do not know your particulars, we cannot and do not provide professional or medical advice or services. We strongly encourage you to consult a healthcare professional before incorporating any ideas in this podcast. Listeners who use the information in this podcast do so at their own risk. The guests on this podcast express their own opinions, beliefs, and conclusions, which is neither supported nor opposed by the podcast and host. The podcast does not fact check information provided. Thank you.